First, we thought the Russians had it. Then, we thought the Chinese had it. Then, we thought detente had ended it. But, oh no, oh no! Here it comes again! Here comes the Colonel!
Ah, yes, once again, the comedians from down the hall have to stick their nose in here again. Well, welcome back. The second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to Ben Amaba with IBM, who is going to tell us about the top three errors in our software for cybersecurity. And then a little later on, going to stop in is Nick Nascimento. He's telling us about the latest malware we have to be careful of. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments are the voice of reason. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
All right, oh spirit of the fountain, we've thrown the coins in the fountain, and now we get to hear your answer, because you know all, hear all, see all, and even tell all for a price. And some of the coins we threw in probably were pennies, but this from the U.S. Mint, tell us, how many of every 10 pennies ever minted are still in circulation right now, according to the U.S. Mint, all right? How many of every 10 pennies ever minted in the United States are still in circulation? Ah,
give us the answer, O Spirit of the Mountain. I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Oh, apparently the Spirit of the Fountain has been counting his coins that we throw in, because of every 10 pennies ever minted in the history of the United States still in circulation, 5 out of every 10 pennies ever minted. Okay, let's get back to our guest. Okay, we're back with Ben Amaba, the worldwide executive with IBM Software Group, their complex systems engineering program, about to tell us why we are so vulnerable to cybersecurity threats.
We're seeing that the number one error right now for cybersecurity is, or the top three is, the volume of paper documents are now too large for human understanding. That's number one. Number two is error in the requirements and designs actually are causing many of the high severity security bugs. And three, that we're actually, because we're in such a rush to build these digital devices or replace legacy systems that may be working, we're actually building in dangerous or toxic vulnerabilities into our new systems. That, to me, was significant when IBM started looking at this transformation of critical and cybersecurity systems. We were actually doing it to ourselves.
Wow. Fascinating stuff, Ben. This is really, really, really stimulating talking to you and learning all these things. This is a great peek into the world of cybersecurity and homeland security.
You know, you're going to actually see engagements, hands-on models, requirements of cybersecurity projects that we're doing today and around the world. How do people breach, you know, certain systems? How do you prevent it? And how were they able to breach it? You know, that is so critical. We can, you know, discuss it in open forums, but to actually touch and feel it and see the models and rotate the models is going to actually not only stimulate new knowledge, but it's going to give a hands-on experience to say, now I understand it, right? That, to me, is going to be the kind of pinnacle that we'll be able to see at this conference, not only for IBM, but for all the collaborators that are there. Not only are we going to discuss these topics, you're going to actually to touch, to feel, and to even modify, because we believe by these conferences, customers, suppliers, government regulators are going to be able to touch things and then give everybody immediate feedback. And that's what it's all about cybersecurity. We might not be able to prevent everything, but if we can sense what's going on and respond quickly, the less impact it will have us on remediation, fixing things, or trying to put boundaries around certain disasters. Being able to sense, analyze, and respond, and being able to touch and feel these new systems is going to be an exceptional value to everyone.
Wow, Ben, it's going to be really exciting. We're looking really forward to seeing that demonstration at the Homeland Security Technology Conference. It'll be pretty sensational. I mean, what a nice hands-on way of getting to get a feel for those tools that you're talking about.
You know, I think we've just got such a huge opportunity. One of the things that I know we've been questioned about worldwide is, you know, the processes are changing, the technology is changing. One thing that we all have to deal with, and that's why we're, collaborating so much with the academic, the government regulators, the suppliers, is the new workforce. You know, I really want to see the new workforce come to be that T professional, that we're as deep as we are wide. And I believe the hands-on labs, the technology that you'll see at the IEEE conference will be exceptional. So I'm looking forward not only to the suppliers, the government members, but also academia to attend there. So I'm looking forward that we can tie all this together and, you know, make a smarter planet for all of us.
Great. Now, how about a prediction for the future? Put on your meditation cap there and give us a look down the road, maybe 5 years or 10 years or even longer if you feel like. Give us a prediction for the future. What you see? What is it, Ben?
You know what I think, and we see it already coming with IEEE themselves and the National Council of Examiners and Surveyors. I think software and the digitization of the world is going to go from an art to a profession. I think it is so important to the livelihood of citizens around the world that you're going to see the art will still be there, but we're going to be looked as professional. And today, I think in April 2013, as part of the digitization and software-driven world, there's actually a licensing exam that's going to go with that. And that's not to prohibit people from practicing, but give a base knowledge so that everyone can become a professional in this arena, cybersecurity. In fact, that's a large majority of the test. So what do I see in the future? I believe that the new systems, the new workforce, and the way we look at the world is not going to be chaotic. It's going to be a profession that's going to change our livelihood around the world, and we're seeing it today.
That everyone can participate in Homeland Security and be a professional because we'll have the tools available to us and that's great. Now, of course, the one question is always lingering out there. What about the malcontents? What about the terrorists? I mean, they're going to have access to these tools too. Are they going to be able to get these tools and go down the road faster than we are and use them against us?
You know, I think that's where collaboration has to, you know, be transparent. We've got to, you know, just like other technologies, we've got to be aware of that. I'm sure they're going to attempt to, but I think with the sincerity of the people, the transparency and the judgment, I believe humanity will reign on that. So I really feel strongly that the people that want to do the right things for the right reasons will surface. It's the cream rises to the top.
Humanity has always won in the past, and we're going to take the optimistic view and believe that humanity and goodness is going to win in the future. All right, word of wisdom. I mean, something that you learned maybe late in life that you wish you would have learned earlier, or some wisdom that maybe a mentor passed on to you that you've carried with you during your time, or something that you'd like to contribute to from the words to live by. What do you have for us, Ben?
You know, I think it's very basic in the world today. I think sincerity, humanity, like you said, and judgment always reigns over. I think it takes patience, and it's just hard work that we all need to go up there. I don't think that there's any magic bullet, but I think when people collaborate and keep it simple, we always come out on top. And you know, earlier in my life, I thought it was a complex algorithm, and you solved it with calculus, math formula, derivatives across a whole wall. No, it comes back down to the basic blocking and tackling and looking at humanity and, you know, having that optimistic viewpoint. The technology can definitely help in that area, but I remember one individual person said that the technology, the more you use, it will not teach you about humanity and judgment. That is something that we all have to deliver on our own as civilization. So that's one thing I really believe strongly, that, again, these meetings in a collaborative environment. Humanity is going to take technology to a safe and secure area.
All right. Fascinating words to live by and great wisdom. Ben, really appreciate it. Ben Amaba, worldwide sales executive for IBM and the complex systems and software engineering programs. Ben, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Colonel Mason.
So what is the scariest malware out there right now? Well, let's find out. Right now, I want to introduce you to a fun guy named Nick Nascimento. He's the chief geek at a Geek2Go, a senior-level IT service and support company.
The number one right now that we're catching is the FBI Money Pack Trojan. It's a piece, what we call ransomware. I'm sure everyone's heard about these types of things where you'll get something on your computer and it'll say, hey, you have to clean this off, and if you pay us, we'll help you clean it off. Of course, with these, you pay them the money, usually $100 or so. It's not going to clean it off. So now you have a broken computer. They have your credit card information, they got your $100, and you have to call somebody else to have them clean it out. Now, what makes this one unique is the earlier type we were able to fight. The whole world got together, the world community of cybersecurity got a hold of these people. We talked with the governments, we talked with the Visa and MasterCard people, the credit card processors that were making this possible for them, and they pretty much shut these guys down. So you saw it really get reduced quite a bit. But believe me, these aren't guys working in garages. These are very sophisticated people. They found a workaround, and I hate to admit it, but you know, you have to admire your opponent. It was brilliant. What they've done, they've stepped up their game to where they found a way to get the money, and they found a more impressive way to scare you to death. So you'll be cruising around the internet. Suddenly a screen's going to pop up, and your computer will be locked on that screen, and it looks like an official page from the FBI.
Oh.
Now, people may have been looking at things they shouldn't have been looking at, or they might be embarrassed to look at, so they're very intimidated by this.
Sure.
It tells them right away that they've been caught looking at some sort of copyrighted material. And, of course, we know that's everywhere on the internet. Everyone sees it. It's unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you right there that you have 48 hours or so to pay this $100 fine. Now, here's where they've gotten really sophisticated, besides their great use of graphics. They know they can't use credit cards because they get shut down internationally very, very quickly, and so they don't make as much money.
Okay.
So what they've done, since you have 72 hours to pay it, they send you to the store, a CVS pharmacy, a 7-Eleven, a Rite Aid, to buy a Money Pack gift card that totally scrubs the money for them. It makes it untraceable.
Ooh.
You go buy your $100 card, you come back to your computer, you punch in the code on the back of the gift card, and hit pay Money Pack. They got your $100. Brilliant. Untraceable. But of course, your computer's still blocked. It's never going to be unlocked, and you have to call a professional, if you're not an advanced user, to have it removed anyway. It's probably going to cost you that much or more to actually have it removed. As I said, these people are very sophisticated now. We have virus and Trojans that literally rename themselves once they've infected you to be passed on to someone else. So the definitions are changing sometimes within 8 hours of the first time it's been seen. So you really have to stay up to date. If you stay up to date, and there's some really good ones out there that update themselves and that are actually free, they'll catch this kind of thing and block it for you. And there's also really good malware, anti-malware software as well that will do the same thing.
All right. What is this this malicious eventware scam from offshore call centers? That's on your list.
Yes, this is one of the ones that's for our less sophisticated users, and we have all of those types. This is the one that they actually get you on the phone, and it sounds very official, except sometimes, well, from our people, they report to us that there was a very heavy accident involved. But you get a phone call. This one doesn't start in the computer. They actually talk you into getting into your computer and giving them control. So you get a phone call, and they tell you, oh, we're getting a lot of reports of viruses being spread, and they have your IP address or the address of your computer, the identification of it, showing that it's emanating from your computer. And they say that they're from Microsoft. And they say, we're here, we're tech support, we're here to help you and get you fixed up, and we have to get this cleaned out. We don't want to have you shut down from the internet. So they get a person who doesn't really know, and there's a lot of people, to trust them and activate an already built-in tool in the support section of Windows, to live, give them command over your computer. And then they'll get in there and they'll push some buttons and they'll show you, oh, look at all these horrible things that are in your computer. We need to get these out. Oh, by the way, it's only going to cost you $150.
Hmm.
Now, that usually gets people wondering when they start asking for the money and they want the credit card. And they're going to keep pushing for that credit card. And the more you push back, the madder they get. In a lot of cases, when people finally say, you know what, you don't sound right, I'm going to call up Microsoft myself, that's when they've watched them literally delete things off their hard drive. So we've had people actually have data loss, major data loss, and things broken in their computer because of these people in retaliation for them not falling for the scam.
Mm.
So this is one where, and it's very easy. I mean, this is something you should tell every single person you know. This is the easiest one in the world to stop. Just tell everyone, if someone calls you and claims they're from Microsoft, just hang up. That's the easiest way to get rid of this one. But it is very, very popular now, and it's actually making a lot of money.
What about the fake virus alert?
But the most virulent that has the base is the MS Removal Tool. It identifies itself as the Microsoft Removal Tool. Now, this one I think a lot of people have seen. It's been around for a little bit, but it's getting meaner and meaner. By that, we mean it retaliates now when you try to fight it. You'll be just cruising along on your computer, and suddenly this thing's going to pop up and say, oh my goodness, you've been infected. And it'll have this long list of infections that your computer has, and it'll tell you, you know what, click here to download this tool and we will clean your computer, much like the FBI virus.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one where it's still based, though, in credit cards. It's all credit card based, so they're really having to struggle a lot. They have to change their accounts a lot. They sputter and they restart. But this one also causes a lot of damage. That scan gets in there, it pops that window up, it replicates itself on your hard drive over and over and over again. And like with all of these that I'm talking to you about, when the end user, who may not be so sophisticated, or even the ones who may be a little bit more sophisticated, when they go after these things and try to delete things and beat things up and run every program that they've downloaded on the internet, and they've tried to mess with the registry to kill these things, because they are very, very frustrating, they actually make it really, really hard for a professional to get in there and follow the tracks and get it out. But these are amazing. Now, there's two ways that we've seen this one spread. And I'll tell you what, this one happened to me personally. Personally, this is what I do for a living, and they almost got me. There's remember those pop-up ads that everyone hates?
Mm-hmm.
We used to hate those things back in the 90s, and they'd pop up in front of your face and ping, 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 ping all over your computer.
Sure.
And so what they did was they converted those to pop-unders. And that's when you're surfing the internet and you close the window, and behind it you see an ad that's been sitting there for goodness knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pop-under. Now what they've done is they've found an exploit with the pop-under. You're surfing around the internet, you'll see a flash on your screen, and it'll be a pop-under that goes underneath. Whenever you see that from now on, lower your window and see what that pop-under is, because what they've done is they've gotten the pop-under that connects to a website, and they reduce it to like a square inch. I sit behind twin 27-inch monitors. This thing was an inch and a half across, so you can imagine what it's going to look like on a small monitor. I floated my cursor over it, and it said, now downloading Microsoft Removal Tool. Now, if I hadn't caught that and closed that little window, I would have been infected.
Ooh.
And that's only because I do this for a living, and I'm always looking out for something strange. So when you're cruising around and suddenly it pops up in front of you, that's exactly how it got there. And once it's there, once it downloads and installs itself, that's when you have issues and you're going to have problems. Again, ignore the threats. Ignore them. Everything about them is fake. You could give them all the money you have. They're not going to clean anything. And they're just going to cause more damage. Get a hold of a professional. If you have updated software on your machine, use it to attack it. And if that doesn't clean it, then call someone.
All right. So you see a pop down, and it says MS Removal Tool. Hit the X and get it out of there right away, and don't let it continue. That's the word, right?
Exactly. But now this is where things get complicated. There's a second variant of these kinds that totally change the rules, and you have to think. And everyone's trying to deal with this now. The manufacturers of the safety software, the security software, they're trying to deal with this. But it goes against everything that you know, everything that everyone knows. We all learned, we studied hard how to safely surf on the internet, and we see one of these things pop up. It's not the pop under one, it's the pop up. And you see it in your face, and it says, this tool you need, do you want it? Now, we all know, I don't want this, I'm going to hit no,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Sure.
I don't want this, I could hit the little red X and it would go away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they've done, since they know that all basic security software works on, it depends on our common sense to say yes or no, they turn the no button into a yes. The yes button's a yes. The little red X is a yes. So everything on that table is going to give them permission to install it onto your computer. When you find that one, if you can't get into your task manager and shut that down manually, it's one of those cases where we hardly ever recommend this, but do a power down, a hard power down of your machine, and don't touch it. Because if you touch it, it's going to install. Then there's instructions on how to reboot your computer into safe mode and run your virus protection software to scan and get rid of it. It's not that hard to get rid of, but once it gets installed, yes, it is very hard.
So it won't go, if you hit the, you know, the yes or the no or the X or anything, it doesn't go away, it just stays right there.
It takes everything as a yes button to give it permission to install. So your protection that you have there, it could be updated to the very second, thinks you gave that program permission to install on your computer. So all the no things that we know have now turned into yes buttons.
Okay, and the only way to get rid of it then would be to power down.
Right. Try to boot your computer into safe mode, which is usually you start it up and hit either, depending on the computer, F8 or F11, and it'll boot into safe mode. If you're a comfortable user, boot into safe mode, then run your virus protection software and scan it and clean it out, or your malware.
Wow, Nick, that is some scary stuff. All right, well, Nick Nascimento, the chief geek at A Geek to Go, and senior IT level service and support company with some great advice. You're very well spoken for a geek. It's been wonderful having you aboard. I hope you'll keep our contact information and let us know when new things are coming up that we can talk about, because we'd like to have you back. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, in just a minute, we're going to get the voice of reason. But right now, if you want to know more about these threats to cybersecurity and your computer directly, go to the Urgent Alerts page at Nick's site, ageek2go.com. That's A-G-E-E-K, the number 2-G-O.com. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I don't think that that idea of trickle-down economics makes much sense, and certainly there's not much evidence to indicate that it's ever helped in the past. There's a big gap, if you like. I think of it as a complexity gap between two different systems in interaction. In this case, it's the top 1% and the rest of us. And that gap in complexity is growing and growing. And at some point, it will grow, just like stretching a rubber band, it will grow to the point where human nature, in this case, will have to step in and say, this gap is unsustainable and it has to be closed. And usually the way that these gaps get closed is by an extreme event. And so if that gap closes, if the rich keep getting richer and the poor or the rest of us keep getting poorer, at some point, this is a formula, for example, for a revolution. Many revolutions throughout history have come about just because of such gaps. And so I regard it as actually very dangerous. John Casti, I am a complexity scientist and director of the X Center in Vienna, Austria.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.